May all glory be unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Father, God the Creator, and the Blessed Spirit, whom Father and the Son has sent to be with us, to guide us through our day-to-day life. May the Lord bless each and every one of us as we now take time to focus on Psalm 90. We have read it a while ago responsively, so I will not read it again. But as we go, we will consider verses, each of those verses, as quickly as possible. Only one life, it will soon be passed. That's the title that is given to me to preach upon, based on Psalm 90. Once a farmer who had a problem with people taking shortcut by cutting across his land, posted a sign on his fence. It read like this: if you are going to cross this field, you had better do it in 9.8 seconds. The bull can do it in 10 seconds. There will come a time when God will drop a sign in your life that causes you to seriously question, what have you been doing with your life? And what is the path that you have been taking all this while? And you will be forced to consider your priorities. You'll be forced to deal with your dreams, your aspirations, and your pursuits. When that time and signal will come from God, only God knows. But it will be better for us to consider God's word and respond appropriately, even before that signal comes from the Lord. It is a defining moment when you see life screaming by. You will question the past. You will evaluate the shortcuts that you have taken. And you are not sure whether you have prepared enough for tomorrow. I'm now 43 years old. Oops, my secret is out. Okay, never mind. I'm still young by the grace of God. But look, it's not the same Prabhudas Koshi that I used to be. Can't keep myself awake through the night. I could go through the night without sleep, even three nights consecutively. Now even one night, it's very difficult. I struggle a lot. I must sleep. I must have good sleep. I can't go hungry. Gastric pain will come and I will start having headaches. And I will end up vomiting. All sorts of problems. And I sometimes take time and think, Lord, 43 years gone, how long more will I have? Well, Dr. S.H. Stowe is 80 and above. That's a long life. I don't think I'll last that long. I wish I can last longer. Maybe 90, that's only a dream. The way I feel today, no. 60, I will be very glad. 70, I will praise the Lord. 80, I will celebrate. It's really a blessing to live long if the Lord so allow us. But it is appointed unto man once to die. And then judgment. Hebrews 9:27. We all have to prepare ourselves for the death that is coming. It's an appointment that is determined by God, and nobody can be late for that appointment. Nobody will be late for that appointment. Nobody will wrestle one more second out of God's hand to live longer than that appointed time. Whether healthy or wealthy, whether a sick person or doctor, everyone has to face the moment of death. But even before that, we would very likely start to think about our life. Life is such that there will be crisis moments that will drive you to have intense introspection. You will think very hard about your life. What was it all about? I hope we will not regret in such moments. The scripture background to Psalm 90 is quite interesting. Moses is the author of this psalm. You can see that in the title. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. He might have come to the end of his journey, and that would mean the 40 years of wilderness wandering as well. Maybe he was at Kadesh Barnea, where there was a great massacre of the Jews because God was angry with them. I was asking my wife a while ago when I was going through my sermon. She was just sitting next to me and I said, "Do you know which pastor buried the most number of people in his life? I think it's Moses. 600,000 people left Egypt for the promised land. 600,000 men alone. Then more children and women. And the Bible clearly tells us, okay, let me read some verses to you to make this very clear to you. Firstly, Exodus 12:37. Exodus 12, verse 37. "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children." Now I'm going to read another passage from Numbers, chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. Numbers 14, 28 to 30. "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." He said, everyone about 20 years old is going to die. Imagine the number of dead bodies before Moses. It's so hard for a pastor to take it. If I have 10 burials in a day, I think, or in a week, or in a month, I will be very devastated. You know, about 3 years ago, I married almost 10 couples in my church. I was very happy. But there was not one burial that year. For long years, as a pastor, I had no one to bury because mine is a young congregation by the grace of God. But I think more are going to die, whether young or old. Sometimes I wonder the sorrow of Job, who had to bury 10 children who died. But then think about Moses, who loved his people like a father, who cared for them for 40 years. If anybody understood what it means to face death, what it is to live in the total awareness of grave, it was Moses. And he was a courageous man. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 10, verse 8, about the experiences of the Israelites under Moses, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 died in one day. According to Numbers 25, about the same event, 24,000 died. So in a day, 23,000 died, and the 1,000, the rest of it, died the following days. 23,000 in a day. Under the supervision of Moses. Sometimes thank God for small congregations. No wonder Moses wrote from verses 7 to 11. Please look into your psalm. Psalm 90, verses 7 to 11. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. A summary of 40 years of leadership and the experience of death in the congregation. It was not just a summing up of Moses' own life, because he uses the first person plural, we. Verse 7, we are consumed. By thy wrath are we troubled. It's not just Moses' own prayer. Yes, this is a prayer written by Moses for the people to sing. It's a song of Moses. It's for you and me. Somebody has calculated and said, if you were to count the 40 years and the death that occurred, an average of 80 funerals a day was what Moses had to face. Of course, that's not correct, because a great number of them died on a particular period of time. But if you just calculate it mathematically, that's what you're getting. By any reckoning, when Moses wrote this psalm, he was not young. You know, he was 80 years old when he left Egypt with the Israelites. And 40 years he lived in the wilderness with the people. So that's about 120, isn't it? And probably at this point of time he's about 100 or above that. Just a rough calculation, not so precise. Here is someone who has put off the rosy spectacles of youth, and now he's reflecting upon his life's work. I'm sure he remembered how he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. How he was in the land of the Midianites when God called him. And how the Lord used him to do great miracles and bring God's judgment upon Pharaoh, the great emperor. Oh, what a glorious day it was for Moses. You never feared the mighty king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. He shouted and screamed in front of Pharaoh saying, God says, let my people go. I love to do that before the kings, for the Lord's sake. I think that's a glorious thing for a man to represent God and speak with that authority. You know, today when I preach, I stand like Moses. Because God gave me the word, and when I preach the word faithfully, I do not fear any man. I preach what the Lord has to say. Now, when to think back and see those days are wonderful. But it is also quite painful as a pastor to think about the life of the people that perished before him. As a shepherd, it's terrible to see the dead sheep. So he wants them to think very carefully. Why want to waste our life in the wrath of God? If God would allow us a period of time to live, let's live it not in the wrath of God, but in the riches and mercies of God. Why will you waste your life in sin? Why will you let God's wrath bring misery and sorrow and trouble to you? My prayer for the flock that God has given to me is that they never fall into sin. This morning, I very passionately preached. And I preached against the sin that so easily beset modern men, internet pornography. I have called my session members and all the full-time workers who collaborate with us to wait, to take a vow that they will not touch this unclean thing. Because my friends, I got no time trying to fix the family problems of wives who are crying out, the husbands are looking at naked women on the internet. I have more important work to do than man falling into sin and then creating such havoc in the families and the church. We have millions out there still not saved. We've got to go out and win them. Why should we waste our time in the wrath of God because of our sinful life? Why will you pin down your pastors to solve your sinful problems? You know, sometimes we cannot counsel you. We cannot solve your problems. You know why? Because you are selfish, carnal, and until you repent, no pastor can ever repair your life. The only thing that will solve all the problems is death. And as we pray, Lord, have mercy upon these people. Have mercy upon this congregation. This kind of terrible evil has gone even into theological institutions such as FEBC. If we are going to churn out a generation of pastors who are addicted to internet pornography and such evil, what will be the rest of the generation that are going to be under the care? Oh, have mercy, O God. If there are no dead bodies in the church, praise must be to Him, not to you. Not even to the pastors who shepherd over you. We are powerless. We can only cry. Think about the short life you have. What is that for? To spend it in sin? Consider your life the way Moses teaches to. Firstly, never think of your life as your own, but always think of your life in relationship to your God. Verses 1 and 2, please look. Psalm 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Moses, 100 years old, coming to the end of his life. He remembers God's covenantal promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He will give them a promise, the land with milk and honey. And even though they will be slaves in Egypt for 400 years, God will bring them out one day. Joseph believed it and said, Jacob believed it and said, to his children that when they leave Egypt, they should take the bones, his bones, and bring it to the promised land. The fathers believe it. The fathers pass the great truth of God's promise down the generation. And Moses remembered it and he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I'm here leading this people across this vast wilderness into the promised land, O Lord, not because of me, not because of me, because of thy merciful covenantal promises. I am today what I am is because you have not forgotten your promises to our fathers and to their children. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We are not worthy of these blessings. Yet, as I look over, I see the promised land. I can smell the air that comes from there. Moses himself did not enter it. Nonetheless, he was so thankful. He saw that with the eye of a prophet. He looked over the River Jordan and he says, thou hast been our dwelling place. I may not enter the promised land. My foot may never touch that land. But I have lived in thee. I'm ready to die. But you will never fail, O God. You know, one of the things that if you ask people to compare in this world with their own short life, they may pick mountains or rocks. Because some of these great mountains that we see have been there for many, many years, hundreds of years. So Moses said in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, I don't know how long these mountains were here. Well, the Lord has created them. They were there according to God's appointment. Even though they have been so long, yet, O Lord, you have been there before them. You go beyond those mountains. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. When people think about the brevity of their life, they think about two things, mountains and dust. Interesting. Because we were created out of the dust. But even that dust was created by God. God was there before the earth was formed. Before the mountains were established. So he ends verse 2 by saying, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting. Can somebody tell me how long it is? Don't try. From everlasting. Oh Lord, who am I? 43 years old man. 60 year old man. 80 year old lady. Whatever it be. But thou art from everlasting to everlasting. Something that is hard to conceive in our minds. Our mortal, finite minds cannot comprehend the depth of the infinite nature of God. It surpasses our ability to conceive. Nonetheless, my friends, you, as a child of God, stand in relation to that eternal, infinite God, and you can say, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I look at my children. Well, they are here today by the grace of God. What would I want to leave behind for them? Not a big house. Anyway, I don't have a big one. Not a lot of bank account. I don't have much. Praise God for that too. You know, sometimes I thank God that I have very little things and not all these things. You know why? They cannot look at those things and say, oh, wonderful. They got to cry out to God. It's enough that God gives us daily food. Give us this day our daily bread. And thank God there is a provider. And I hope they will look to God. Even when I'm gone. But I will be with the Lord. And I hope they will follow me to that great abode in heaven. That's what I pray for my congregation. And I'm sure that's what your pastors are praying for you too. Are you very proud of big houses that you live in? Are you very proud of the new condominium that you bought? Well, if God has given to you such wonderful places of residence, enjoy it by all means. But if you can't say, the Lord is my dwelling place, it's of no use. Because all the things, no matter how glamorous they are, they will all perish. Only the Lord alone be eternal. He surpasses the great mountains. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To have our being in Him. To have our souls firmly anchored in Him is the greatest joy, greatest comfort. If the Lord would take me today, I will go happily. My kids are young. That's frustrating sometimes to think that you leave your children so young. But I will not stop my Lord to call me home if that is His will, simply because I have taught my kids all the time. The Father in heaven is a better Father than this earthly Father. You trust Him, He will make your house. You trust Him, He will feed you. You trust Him, He will teach you. You trust Him, He will prosper you. You trust Him, He will make you soul harvesters. And He will bring you home one day. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Then He talks about the brevity of man's life. And He sets it against God's eternality that we read in the first two verses. I did read with you a while ago part of it, but let's quickly read. Verse 3 to verse 11. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. The duration, the extent of your life is in the hand of the sovereign God. Okay? God is not only eternal, He is also sovereign. God is not only the creator of your life, but He is also the one who calls you to an end on this earth. He alone can bring an end to your life. So if somebody threatens you with death, don't tremble, okay? And don't cry over it. You know, one of the worst things that a man may go through is to have somebody come around every morning and put a pistol on his head and say, I'm going to kill you, and that don't kill you. The next morning he comes, I'm going to kill you today, and that won't kill you. And it's really frightening. It's very torturous, right? To wait in patience to have someone to kill us is terrible. Apostle Paul had to wait in the prison. He said, my day of departure is coming, and that he doesn't know when it is. It's a terrible wait. But he did not waste his time while he was waiting for death to come. He kept writing epistles. So we have the Word of God today. Because God inspired him. And he wrote many prison epistles. You know, sometimes you are going to face the reality of death. And some of us will face the reality of death earlier than the rest. True? And then the doctor tells you, when you have a pain here or there, when Oh, sorry, you got a tumor. Let's do a check on that tumor. Oh, that's malignant. Oh, it looks like you won't survive more than 6 months. Oh, here comes the signpost. If you cross in 9.8 seconds, the bull is going to run 10 seconds. Within 10 seconds. Death is behind you. Only 6 months left. People faint. They get worried. They get troubled. They cry. They weep over things that are ahead of them. But my friends, I understand. I don't make fun of them. I think I will do the same. To know that life will pass so fast. But remember, God has the right to do it, for He's sovereign. Let's don't get caught unaware, because the scripture says, when God says, return, ye children of men, we will all return to the dust. And those, of course, who are believers will fly up to be with Him, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now, if any of you have not considered the shortness of your life, I want to pause here for a short while for your sake and ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father had sent to save you before you die, that whether you have found a cure, a redemption from all your sins. If not, my friend, you can't be saved after you die. And you don't know when this life will end. Consider now. Today is the day of salvation. Because you know not whether there will be a tomorrow. Decide now whether you want to end your life in sin and face the judgment of God. To be punished forever in the eternal lake of fire. Which the Bible calls hell fire. Tormented forever and ever. Today decide for yourself. Why not you look to the cross where Jesus died? There was a thief who was crucified next to Him. And he was dying because of his crime. He was put to death. And that in that dying moment, when he was given a chance to take a glance, take a look at Jesus, he saw the Lord Jesus. He immediately prayed, Lord, remember me when you come again in your kingdom. Jesus told him, today, as you die, you will be with me in paradise. Dear sinner, God's love is now dealing with you as I speak. It is God's word that says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe Him now, right now, and say to Jesus Christ, who died to take away your sin and punishment, Lord, save me. Take me home to heaven if I would perish tonight. His word to you, if you would believe on Him. Yes, my child, you are mine, now and forever. He will never leave you alone. If God would extend your life for another 10 years, another 2 years, or another 20 years, as He wills, then live in the knowledge that you are saved. So it doesn't matter when death would come. Let nobody leave this congregation this evening without being very sure that your sins are forgiven. Trust Him now. Right now. Pray in your heart. Lord, forgive me. My sins. There are many. If I were to die now and stand before your judgment, I deserve no mercy. For I have rebelled against you. But thank you for sending thy Son to die for me. Please save me. Please wash my sins in the blood of thy Son. Amen. If you have prayed, you can be sure The Spirit of God will bring the peace that passeth all understanding from God's presence into your heart. But dear friends, the rest of us who are believers, what's the message? You also have to go the same way. You know, death is a great leveler of mankind. The rich and the poor will die. They will all go to a 6-foot grave. And no worm is going to hold back and say, "Oh, that's a rich man. Better don't eat his flesh." No worm in the grave is going to say, "Oh, that is a political leader. Let's don't get near him, because he killed a lot of people." No. Everyone will be brought down to the dust. "Return ye, O children of man." Verse 4, "For 1,000 years in the sight are but as yesterday, when it is passed as a watch in the night." You see how quickly our life goes. As somebody said, when I was a child, time walked past me. When I was a youth, time started to run. When I was middle-aged, time was speeding past. Now I'm old, time flies away. Time just flees. Verse 5. "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Oh, we are consumed by thine anger. By thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." You know, it's scary for any man to think that God is going to deal with that man the rest of his life according to the sins that he has done. Now let's say I'm 43 now and God is going to give another 43. But the next 43 years of my life, if they are going to be God's just reply to my sins and rebellion, what will be the kind of 43 years I will have from now onwards? I can only say, "Oh Lord, hide thy face against my sins. Have mercy, don't deal with me according to my sins. Enough of your secret sins." Just because your sins are not found out by your husband or your wife or your parents or your children, don't think they are not sins. They are still sins. Secrecy will not justify sin. They are still sins before God. And some of us will pay the price of secret sins that we cherished. Many a pastors who have illicit relationships, which they managed to cover up for years, were all blown up in the face when they're high up as well-known pastors. And it was too hard for them to take. Some of them not only quit the ministry, which they have to, of course, after committing such terrible sins, they also even thought of committing suicide. At least I know of a man like that, because it was very painful to live. Now, nonetheless, my friends, regardless of all the consequences of our terrible sin, even though we dare not ask for mercy because of the enormous amount of sins that we have committed, Moses teaches to cry for mercy. Look at the end of Psalm 90. We shall read from verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, it's a wise thing to number your days. That is to say, look, your days are not very many. They are very short. You don't have too many days. If your life is very short, how would you want to live the next 2 days? Once a young man asked a preacher who has been preaching for a long time, how will you die? Or what will you do if you know that God is going to call you home tomorrow? This preacher smiled at him and said, I will live just the way I've been living, because there's nothing new for me to do. I've been following the Lord, doing all His will. I just live the way I have lived in the past year. Now, Christians, number your days. How will you live if the Lord is going to take you tomorrow or 1 year from now? Live as though you're going to die today. Live as though you have no tomorrow. Live this day, every day that God gives, for His glory and His glory alone. Because if you don't do it today, tomorrow may not be there for you to correct yourself. Number your days and be wise. Verse 13. Quickly cry, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants, or satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Ask the Lord to return to you. Repent here does not mean God has to repent as a sinner repents, but rather, Lord, do not bring about the wrath, thy anger against my sins. Have mercy. Don't punish me, O Lord. Have mercy. Cry out. We need to cry unto the Lord. Return unto me, Lord, but not in wrath, but in mercy. Verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. It's quite interesting. Moses is coming to the end of his lifetime on earth, but he says, Lord, if I have 2 more days, cause me to rejoice. I want to see your people being blessed. I'm sure the fathers of Bible Presbyterianism, who are still alive by the grace of God, has fought great battles. I have heard Reverend Timothy Toh saying not too long ago, the last fight that I fought, and this is with regard to the preservation of the Bible, is the hardest battle I have ever fought in my life. That servant of God is coming to the last lap of his life. He seldom preaches today because of physical infirmities. Nonetheless, I'm sure his deepest desire is to see the people who love the Lord and who are with Him are blessed. The other day I went to him. He was sitting outside the FEBC hall after teaching the students for half an hour from the book of Psalms. I shook his hand and said, Reverend Thor, praise God you could teach. He said, yes, brother. And I said, you know, we are going to have a missions conference in Philippines at the end of this year. Would you like to go with me? 2 of your students will be ordained as pastors, one from Ethiopia and Philippines. Would you like to go? He looked at me and smiled and said, I do not think I can go with you. I don't think I will have the energy and strength. But my friend, you are a loyal friend to me. God will bless you. Go and do God's work. You still like to see more blessedness coming. You still like to see students being blessed. Well, I believe every father, every servant of God wants to see this for himself before he dies. That you are blessed. So he teaches you to sing. He teaches you to pray with him. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Lord, enough of troubles. Please have mercy to revive them, And he goes on to say in verse 16 and 17 in conclusion, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. What a prayer. The rest of your life that you have, let it be crowned with the beauty of God. Let it not be crowned with sin and judgment. Let it not be crowned with wrath of God. Calvary Pandan BP Church and all the dear friends who are here tonight, this evening, from many other different Bible-believing churches, I ask you to pray that for you and your family and for your congregation, that nothing but the glory of God will crown the rest of your days. Not sin, not the filth of this world is darkening ours. We are the ones who should shine, being enshrined with God's glory. So let's yield ourselves. Let God bless the works of our hands. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through the words of Moses, the great man of God, whom thou hast raised, who has gone through so many painful experiences as a loving and meek man who served the Lord and his people. Lord, our experiences are mixed with joy and sorrow. But we all like to ask you to bless us right now. God, be merciful unto us and bless us. May thy face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.